Hey, what's going on? This is the Educated Guest Podcast, and I'm Justin, your host. Hey, if this is your very first time listening, I just want to say thank you for joining us. And however you found us, whether that be via happenstance or a recommendation, it doesn't really matter. It just matters that you're here. And I figure I owe it to you personally to explain a little bit about this community and what it is and what you're about to embark on and the journey that we're trying to shepherd along for many of the multidisciplinary artists and designers who are here and continue to come back. You know, over the past 2.5 years, we've had over 28,000, now 29,000, gaining on it, people tuning in and truly listening and finding value in these lectures, the over 160 plus hours of content. I believe we're approaching 26 different countries of people who are listening and tuning in. We've done partnerships, we've raised money, we've done fundraisers, we've released merchandise, we've hosted events, we've done joint ventures with other design studios. We've done a lot. This is not a very new place, and our hope is to continue to grow as we, you know, pursuit of creating a place for the person who may have gone to art school or didn't go to art school, but pursuing some holistic artistic education. And what that means is that we're not seeking just how to help people make an extra 20% on their salary of the job they already don't like. That's not what we're here for. We're hoping to create a space for people to continue to come back and learn to think for themselves in the true Socratic nature. We bring topics to bear that aren't necessarily congruent with a normal art and design podcast or a normal art and design school. Or we're looking to bring new perspectives to the table so that you can understand the connection between art and day-to-day life and where you fit into that spectrum. So all that said, we have plenty to talk about today. If this sounds like something you're into, you can go to educated-guest.com, educated-guest.com, and subscribe to our newsletter. We don't really do too many emails, mostly because I don't read my emails personally that often, because if it's that important, you can normally call people and text people, and that's a more direct line of communication. That said, we do email. And also, one more thing, if you want to go to @educated_guests on Instagram, you can find more information there about just regular content, motivational content, inspirational content, informational content, any of that sort of stuff that makes sense for you. You can find it there. All right, cool. So those things aside, let's talk today about thinking versus doing and this sort of dialectic between the action and two gerunds, right? Like, thinking and doing are definitely two gerunds, but at the same time, they have different connotations. Like, in theory, they are verbs that are acting as nouns, but at the same time, you're not necessarily worried about, you think of two different things, right? The funny thing is, when you're thinking, you actually are doing something. It's just, it doesn't manifest into anything physical or digital, anything you can touch, see, think, or touch, see, or feel. The doing part is usually in pursuit of something manifesting itself into something you can touch, something you can taste, something that's accessible by the senses. So why do I start there with that complicated approach to thinking and doing? Well, I start there because I want to reorient your mind to help you understand what it actually looks like from an external sense when you come to people and you say, I'm not sure about this, I'm not sure about that, I don't know, or you come to people on the opposite end of the spectrum and you say, oh, well, I just did this thing, now I'm doing this thing, and I got this thing to do over here, and I got that thing to do over there. What does that sound like to you? And if you're on the other end listening and you're trying to guess and you're like, what in the world is this about? What is he talking about? I didn't ask for all this. I just clicked on this hoping for something relaxing today. And this might not be the thing that's trying to relax you. I'm not trying to relax you. Instead, what I'm trying to do is relax you into and reorient you into a new place, into a new mind state. So what it sounds like is that you are existing someplace too far on one end of the spectrum of thinking or doing. The goal here is to be in the middle, to be balanced. Because when you're thinking all the time, nothing's going to ever come to nothing's ever going to manifest itself. And when you're doing all the time, nothing meaningful is ever going to be brought to life. So the last time you probably listened to a lecture, if you're following along in a chronological order, you heard us talk about expectancy. And one quote that it really hit home for me recently, I heard it was that the most powerful force is to be consistent and congruent with the expectations of our peer group, So when I heard that, I was like, whoa, that blew my mind. And when I moved to the next step, I understood that they were again talking about, you know, proximity and what that means for your future and how to actually develop a new, you know, proximate environment that is beneficial for you now and for you in the future. So why does this connect with thinking versus doing? Why does this actually loop back into that? Well, the thing with thinking versus doing is that both decide and both are very important to the future that you're creating. They're integral to the future that you want to create. And if your future is also heavily influenced by the expectations of your peer group, then it makes sense to start thinking about your peer group. It makes sense to start thinking about what it is that you need, where do you need to be in terms of proximity to those around you. So I'm going to give you a couple of questions to actually move through today, and we'll be wrapping up here in a minute. I want to keep these pretty short, just something that can get you maybe to that next segment of your day, that next segment when it's middle of the night, that next segment in the morning, just to keep you going. So the first question I want to ask, and I've talked to this, you know, I've had a conversation with some friends about this recently when they were asking me for some advice on stuff or just wanted to bounce some ideas. And I had a few questions for them, and they asked me about career stuff. They asked me about this. They asked me about that. And we don't talk all the time. Probably talk once a month, once every 2 months, something like that. And when I heard them talking about all the things they had planned, I knew that me helping them with the, you know, with the lagging indicators of their success would be extremely, you know, wouldn't really help them. Why? Because if I come and I can use golf or I can use basketball as an example, if I come to somebody and they're like, yeah, I'm trying to work on my three point game, or I'm trying to work on my free throws. And next time, you know, I just watch, all right, well, shoot a few. And I watch them shoot a few. And I'm like, okay, well, you're clanking it off the back of the rim every time. So what are you trying to do? Well, I'm trying to make it. Okay, well, try to hit a little softer. Try to throw, you know, a little bit softer touch. And then they start clanking it off the front of the rim. And it's like, well, you know, so maybe like a little bit harder. And then they clank it off the back. And they clank it off the front. And they clank it off the back. That's called a lagging indicator. Another example, two more examples are that, and I don't know too much because I've never, you know, actually done marksmanship training or anything like that, where you actually like bow and arrow training or archery. But it's all very similar to golf, right? Like it's all about precision and accuracy. And as you start thinking about what it means to be accurate, you're trying to, you know, aim at 150 yards out and you're trying to think about, oh, well, how far left or right of the pin do I need this ball to end up? And the thing with that is, of course, you wish that would just happen and you're like, oh, well, I missed it 10 yards to the left. This is a perfect example that makes more sense. And I promise it's coming back to why I couldn't answer these questions, why I couldn't directly tell this person what to do. So when I'm on the range or I'm on the golf course, I think about, oh, well, I missed it 10 yards left. Why don't I just aim 10 yards right? And then I swing again and I miss it 20 yards left. Then you're really confused. And you're like, well, how's that even possible? Well, the truth is that every golf swing comes down to really two things. It comes down to club path and face angle. So this is a very scientific way of explaining it, but you could aim further right and the ball can actually go further left. Why? Because you're changing your, there's two factors that are actually leading to the result instead of one. And this relates back to the question the guy asked me, because he was like, man, I'm just trying to do all this, trying to do that. Well, the two factors are skill and mindset, skill and mindset. So you can tell me about, oh, what do I need to do? What do I need to learn skill wise to get this thing externally, to accomplish this thing externally, to focus on this thing I can be that I can see? Well, the truth is, me trying to answer a question about what you want to get externally has nothing to do, is not going to help, because there's actually many factors ahead of this that determine whether that external thing is even one, something you should actually be wanting, or actually something you want, or two, something you're even going to get. So let's focus in on the earlier question. So instead, here's some things you can actually write down, take away from them as I start, you know, wrapping up here in a minute. I know I said that probably 10 minutes ago, but I had a couple of stories to get out. The first thing is, in terms of proximity, number one question is, do the people around you believe in you? And the second question I would just ask very, very quickly in succession, are those people accepting of the current version of yourself? Are they accepting? Now, those are two contradictory questions, because you would think that belief, others' belief in you should also mean that they are accepting of who you are now. When in actuality, these people, this self-belief, that this external belief that others, you're wanting them to have in you, they should also not be believing in the current version of you. They should be believing in the version of you that you are to become, that's being built, that's under construction. They're not believing in your ability to hammer something down right now. They're believing in the building, the vision of your life. And as such, they shouldn't accept the current version of you. They should not accept the current version of you. See, everybody has these people in their lives that, you know, you can be messy around. Everybody talks about, I just want to feel comfortable. I just want to cuss, and I just want to, you know, wear whatever. I don't want no haircut. I just want to be whatever. And that's nice every now and then, for sure. Like, not everybody wants to be on their P's and Q's at all times. That's heavy. But at the same time, you know, for most people listening, they should know that I'm a church going person. I like, you know, I'm a Christian. So at the same time, I also understand other religions. I study multiple religions, and I understand the congruency between them all, and also into ancient mythology and how all are related. But specifically about Christianity, let's talk about that, since, you know, I think most people are at least familiar with the normal practices of Christianity, whether they're Christian or not. And they're usually turned off by those things, right? Like, you're thinking about, oh, well, man, I don't want to hang out with all these church people, because I can't cuss, I can't drink, I can't smoke, I can't do this, I can't do that. Man, I can't do nothing around these folks. And the thing is, some of this is true if you think about it from that standpoint, right? Like, it's not customary for you to be able to do all those things. But nobody ever stops to think about, well, what's up with all these constraints? What's up with all these, this constriction? I can't breathe. Why are the constraints there? I told my friend, as he was talking, and we were just kind of chatting back and forth, and I said, you know, the more I learn about creativity, the more I learn about art and design, the beauty is actually in the constraint. The beauty is in the constraint. Why? Because you need something to push off of. You need something to push off of. You need something to understand where you're working around. Without the constraint of gravity, how will we ever assess, why will we ever champion somebody jumping high? Without the constraint of inertia or friction, why would we ever celebrate how fast a car can go? Why would we ever celebrate an airplane getting off the ground without the constraint of gravity, without the constraint of the seasons and how the seasons change and light and day? How will we ever appreciate when there's a full moon? You know, as we start thinking about constraints, I want us to think beyond constraints in the creative sense of like a creative brief or anything like that. I want us to think about constraints in the sense of how we live our lives. And the moment we can start moving away from believing that a constraint is a restriction and start believing that instead a constraint is a cue. A constraint is a cue that that's the direction you ought to be going. Anytime you feel constrained by something, it's only because your ego is telling you that you aren't, that action isn't congruent with who you should be. That, and as soon as you start believing that, hey, maybe I'm not meant to be a person who cusses all the time. Maybe I'm not meant to be a smoker. Maybe I'm not meant to be a drinker. Instead of running back to find where all the drinkers are at, maybe I'll try for just this little moment to not be that person. Let me see if I can put on this caricature. Because you believing that you are a drinker, you believing that you are not an entrepreneur, you believing that you are not a designer, you believing that you are not an artist, substitute any blank, any fill in the blank. Wasn't that just a caricature that you created over time? And you was, you know, a belief is just nothing but a caricature that is repeated over and over time. Both scientifically, that is proven. Because the thing about your brain is that anytime you visualize a truth, visualize a moment, the thing about your neurotransmitters, and this is the thing about neuroplasticity, is that the things that we repeat become the things that get strengthened. That's the whole point of neuroplasticity, is that you have to believe in the ability for your brain to reorient itself so that the neurotransmitters can actually begin to touch one another in a new way. And the more frequently they touch that other neuron, these things, and forgive me, I'm not a neuroscientist, but at the same time, that doesn't stop me from reading and remembering what I read. The thing here is that if you can create a caricature for somebody that's negative, why can't you create a caricature for something you actually want to be? For something that's positive, that you know is positive, you know is better for you in the long run than the short run. So that's the first thing, is proximity. Are these people accepting of the current version of yourself? Three more questions about friends and about proximity and about moving away from thinking and doing is, and finding balance between the thinking and the doing, is, are you open to encountering a surprise that's in your favor? Are you even open to it? And I want you to say today, you know, as you move through your day, as you move through your week, as you move through, you know, the rest of even just this moment, this lecture, I want you to ask yourself, are you open? Because if you're oscillated between thinking and doing, thinking and doing, thinking and doing, that means that you're not opening yourself to something that could be in your favor. You're not opening yourself to a surprise. So again, proximity will lead to passion, and passion will lead to purpose. Those three things, I truly believe, are congruent and necessary and won't be changed. Till next time, peace.